most of the kids do when they play, they record it and they want to put it to the YouTube. They wanted to write a book, they wanted to create a board game. So they've been coming to us asking on how it would be better to do that. And we immediately thought that it would be a good idea actually to teach them the skill of making it with the project management tools or the frameworks. So they would understand the principles and they would learn it while doing the fun stuff. And maybe that skill will then embed in their mind and will help them in the future. As you said, the project management is a life skill, right? So, and we had that in mind all the time. So we've been doing, initially we had a Scrum board, then we had the Kanban boards. We've been using different tools and we've been doing those projects, a little small, different kind of projects that together with kids. Then one day my husband came saying that, oh, there is actually people interested in this subject and they've been heard that how we've been doing it with the kids. So he came up with an idea, let's write a book. Yeah, and he drafted the first version. Then we came to our kids, they read it. They simplified the language because they've been coming and saying, oh, that's not clear, or actually this was done differently. So they've put a lot of ideas around the small one.
Just looking at the structure of the book on the screen, I'm not going to steal your thunder. Do you want to just talk through it a little bit and just give people a little view of how you structured it and how those lessons come out?
Yeah, so
obviously don't give away the
book
whole
is structured
story,
in a way
because then no one will buy it.
No, I won't. Yeah, those pages are actually seen on Amazon, so it's fine. So the book is structured in a way that it actually presents a project management to the kids, saying, "Hey, you are a little project manager, and the project you are going to do is about, for example, writing a book or filming a short film." And we also have recommendations for the parents on how they can help and facilitate this project for the kid. We also structure it in a way that there is steps and phases similarly to the project execution. So the project goes and they initiate the project. They plan the project, so they find the scope, they plan what they need to do or what they want to do in this project, and then after they plan it, they have a team who would be doing what, and they got a commitment from the team members, then they go to the execution. And while the team members execute the project according to the plan that they have drafted, or there is a challenge level, right, when you draft the plan, but there is also an uneasy level for the kids when the plan is given, and they tick. That's the most favorite part of the kids, to tick an activity. So they don't know, but they're actually doing controlling and monitoring, right? And so the book is designed in a way that kid can do that project in 7 days. And if something is not done in a day, I don't know, 2 or 3, then they can spot a problem, why it's not done, or if there is anything happened, or they have some kind of surprises in the project for the reason it wasn't done. So they try to solve it. They try to talk to the team members. So we guide kids through those steps and the situation that might happen in the project. Then after the completing, they have a closure as well. So there is a celebration, or there is a lessons learned discussion with the team members if the project is not achieved in a way how it was expected.
I like the way it sounds as well, that you've got that. I love the way that you're talking about the monitoring and actually stealth teaching them that they're monitoring and controlling, because it sounds boring, doesn't it, when you say, right, you've just got to monitor stuff, yeah, but we're actually,
yeah, it
as
does.
You say, it is, and it is that thing of, I've done it myself with me get project plans when I've been updating them, and I'm ticking off stuff that we've done or making it 90% complete or 80%, and I'm just sitting there thinking, yeah, feels good. Yeah, there's a real satisfaction. So yeah. I can understand why they enjoy the ticking on it. That's brilliant. So,
Yeah.
before we move on to
So.
a few other things that I wanted to chat to you about, especially about the AI stuff, if people, I think you mentioned it's available on Amazon, isn't it? Your book at the moment, and I
Yeah,
think
it
there's
is.
a few variants that are out, coming out when we're talking, but maybe out when this goes out. We weren't quite sure on the timing. So, do you want to just tell us a little bit about, the versions that are coming down the line, and yeah, and if there's any other information around the book that people can get hold of if they wanted to.
Yeah, so the currently book has a three volumes. So the one is for the kid to create a book. The second is for the kid to make a short film or any other movie that they would like to do based on their interest. And the third is to create a party.
Okay.
So we intentionally done a different kind of projects and a different kind of examples. So different kids would find what they like more. For the first book, they have a different set of the characters that they can use to write a book. For the short film, they have a different topics to do, so they can create a short film with an actors, or they can record the interview, or they can record an unboxing, or any other content videos that they.
Yeah.
There is quite a lot in the YouTube
Oh,
available.
that's brilliant. So that gives a little bit of variance to what people might be interested in. So that's superb. So and again, there it's available on Amazon. Is that the main area or the only area you've got them at the moment?
Yeah, mostly it's Amazon, which is quite convenient. It's available globally, right? It's only the exception is the Central Asia and Kazakhstan mostly, because Amazon don't easily deliver there. So we have their local markets platform, e-commerce platforms where the book can be found in Kazakh
Oh,
and the
cool.
Russian
Brilliant.
language
That's
languages.
brilliant.
Yeah.
So let's move on to what your doctorate that you're working on at the moment, and AI in portfolio management. And I think AI for me is well, it's the big step change. There's a lot of news about it. There's lots of capability and the acceleration of it. I was thinking about it the other day. It was the year before last. I released my book, the Productivity Hats book. Obviously, we've been in COVID, and we've been doing. It's all about different tools you can use, and using things like Outlook rules and all manner of different things to automate our
Okay.
lives a little bit. And
Yeah.
a bit about remote working as well, because obviously we've gone into remote working. And I look back now,
Yeah.
and how from then, my thinking of using AI for productivity, and I was using Otter AI, for example, as a transcription
Okay.
tool back then. I've been using that for a while, but that's probably
Yeah.
as advanced as the AI I thought was going to be for a while. And then
Okay.
suddenly, from the end of
Okay.
last year to now, it's gone absolutely ballistic. So, what's your
Yeah.
take on it? Where were you, what, 2 years ago, 18 months ago, in the AI, from an AI's point of view?
Yeah, so my first experience with AI was the project that we've been delivering. We've been delivering that project for Kazakhstan and for the UAE as well. It was a diagnostic AI that will help to diagnose a COVID from the CT scan. And it was a COVID time, right? So it was really timely, and it was increasing in efficiency, and the time that doctors required or they had to diagnose the lung, and also it's been used for the cancer as well. It's been showing a lot of positive results. It was showing that it's reduced the queue waiting for the results of the test. And that's the project I've been delivering. I've got a lot of interest on the AI and how it can help in different kind of activities. At that time, we haven't been talking a lot about AI, right? It was only those who's been in that field who's been learning and applying it. But yeah, as you said, very recently, it became a huge hype, and it's now everywhere. Everyone's using AI, ChatGPT, or any other tool that's available there to help you to do the work faster, maybe better, but we don't know yet. Depends. Yeah, but my concern in my doctorate degree is that AI is improving, and there is a tendency in the human nature that we might rely on the technology too much. It happens now with our phone, with alarm, or with all the messages and the calendar that we have. We rely on that, right? And we might over rely on the AI as well. So when it comes to the portfolio management, what I'm afraid of, and we'll see what the research will show, that we might over rely on the AI in order to make decisions. It happens now, right, when investors rely on the AI feedback in order to invest the money or to build a portfolio of stocks where they want to put money. It might happen the same with the stakeholders or the sponsors of the projects, that they might rely on the what AI is showing and then make wrong decisions. So where AI is and where the human is, and how we can collaborate in order to make better decisions, what might be used there. That's the one side, and there might be the other sides as well that we might want to consider, and there is a lot of research is happening now related to the ethical part of it, and what human might trick in order to make it to make the dashboards, for example, look differently, or to fake the results of the outputs that AI might produce. So we know about a lot of fakes that's coming with the help of AI, and human is the one who put the task for AI to make those fakes, right? So that's the other edge. So what I would like to understand in my doctorate is awareness of executives and the portfolio managers on what AI might bring to our corporate decisions when we build up our portfolio, when we actually try to build it in order to follow our strategy or the new budget for the new year. Do we know to which extent we can rely? Do we know to which data we might rely? Do we have an education behind it and understand how that data comes, right? So all of those questions I have in mind, but I
Yeah.
don't know the
Well,
answer yet. So I have 3 years
yeah, it's good,
to
and it's
find
going
it
to be
out.
fascinating one too, because obviously the speed and pace of change within that whole arena, you're kind of going to be behind the curve.
Yeah.
Well, you're behind the curve before you pick up the next article on LinkedIn, isn't it? The day before, it's kind of, it can be literally a day later. Because
Yeah.
I did some training a couple of weeks back now, and it was something that I've and they talk about the ethics. It was the LinkedIn training on with Microsoft. It was actually really good. I think it's free, or it was free at the time. In fact, it opened my eyes a lot to some problems and some opportunities. And one of the things that I didn't realize, and I think it is the transparency of what you're using AI for and the model that you're using. But then coupled with that was the
Yeah.
difficulty where some of the way that we build these AI models, and they could be that, is that they do their own self-tuning, so you don't actually know what's going on inside. You know the inputs, you know the outputs, but you don't necessarily know that the black box
Right,
in there of
the
how it's done it,
exactly.
because it works it out itself from the data you've given it. And obviously then depending on your data source, your data bias is going to be a difficulty there, and your outputs that you want. And
All of that.
it opened my eyes to a lot of the problems, and the context of the problems, not
Oh, yeah.
necessarily I kind of heard, was aware of them, but I understood the context a little more. But also then the opportunity of what you can do with some of the stuff, and the way that I know Bing is for me has been ramping up really quickly.
It's a human, right, who trains an AI, any AI model. It's a human. So whatever biases human has, it will be just transferred there into the AI. It's important to know is that you need to have a skills to challenge the data, to challenge the results, and to know what kind of data been fit into the AI in order to have that results, right? The one of the examples is very simple. So one of the AI models I've been testing for the portfolio management is that you have a different set of the projects that you want to invest. You kind of define what kind of goals do you want to achieve at the end of the, let's say, 2 or 3 years when all the projects are completed and you actually can feel and receive the results. And when I put those projects and those constraints and all my data into it in order to get that result, the result was a bit surprising. And why you say? Because the model was built for the market and the conditions of the USA. So it's considered the capital market there, the human capital there, the economical situation, and the political situation. So you can't take that model easily and try to build a good portfolio for the company that is located, for example, here in the Middle East, because you have absolutely different conditions. You have all expats from all over the world. So the human capital is really key here. You have a different economical situation. You have a different figures for the market, for the capital market. So everything, all the inputs are actually different, but the model is trained for the different environment, so you can't easily apply it. Do you know that? You might not, right? And you might trust the results, and then you might build up the portfolio that will not work for you. So it's really essential, I think, when we try to use an AI, we need to understand how it works. For example, taking a ChatGPT, most of the people just trust the result, but they don't know that there is a statistics behind it, right? If I write the bullshit 10,000 times, ChatGPT takes it as true, but it's not necessarily true. It's just how many times it appears in the database. That's it.
They're kind of dumb AIs sometimes, aren't they? And it's depending on what we're doing, but then as they evolve, and as it's it you've got to understand. It's that whole thing of kind of liken it to the when you're learning maths at school, where the teachers want you to learn it without a calculator, and the thing you always sat there when a calculator arrived when I was growing up, and they were available. It's like, well, we don't need to learn it now, we've got a calculator. But being able to have that skepticism and that knowledge to be able to question the tool is key, isn't it? And that's it's like using social media. The skepticism of anything that's on social media, you don't believe it's there. The skepticism of everything that's coming through ChatGPT, the skepticism of someone's project status report. You kind of got to sit there and go, hang on,
True,
you can't just take it as being that's what's happened, because you need to think about it sometimes. I do it myself, and I kind of sit there and someone will read something out to me, and I will be in the report and I'll read it, and then an hour or two later my little brain goes, hang on, that doesn't make sense, because the dots are there. And whereas at the time when I'm talking to them, sometimes it'll be, yeah, that sounds about right. But that skepticism, that not skepticism's the wrong, the analytical part of our brains in there that we need to be using.
It's a complete different set of the skills that project managers in our context need to learn, right? So they need to understand the data, from where data comes and what kind of data was fit there. Maybe not exactly the way how the model works, but as you said, question all the outputs that it gives, and maybe just backtracking with the inputs that you give. And also with the AI, it's really important on what you put as a request. So you need to learn what kind of request you need to put in order to get a desired output. So it's not that you can write anything and you can get some kind of result. It's really knowing what kind of
Yeah, I think
request to
it's
make.
interesting actually, because I was talking to someone the other day about it, and there was I was saying about the fact that yeah, prompt engineering is where you need stuff there, and they kind of said no to me because the way that the things are moving on, you can get the AI to write a prompt better than you can to prompt your output, if you know what I mean. You can only say I want write me a good prompt to get me this
Yeah,
kind of
exactly.
result. Whilst then you're kind of in a circular loop where is that
Yeah.
prompt okay? But you can't, you know, it kind of starts to become turtles
Yeah.
all the way down sort of thing. And building your separate models and
Yeah.
understanding what's there and not doing it's fantastic. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. I'm just looking there. We're kind of coming up on time a little bit.
Okay.
Just thinking. Maybe. When you're Dr. Anara, yeah, in 3 years you've got your doctorate, yeah. And where do you see AI in project and portfolio management? What in your mind are you thinking in 3 years' time? What's going to be different? What are we going to be using? How are we going to do our jobs differently? Horrible question, I know.
I think it's a hard question, but what I think about is that we would apply it more in our day-to-day task rather than how we do it now. So, as an example, I had a position of a project coordinator in my team. Then I've just subscribed for the AI solution that will actually participate on the call, do the meeting notes, and then give as a result a list of the actions for everyone who's been on the call. So, do I need now a project coordinator? Maybe not, but for some of the activities, it's really easy to automate it and make it easier, you know, on the day-to-day activities. So, if you are building up a new project that you know it's already been done, it's very similar to any other project, for example, developing some kind of software solution or making some kind of change. And AI model knows that, and then it gives you a draft of the plan. And then you, as an experienced project manager, look to that draft and then you tailor it based on your context and based on other parameters that wasn't considered there in AI. So it actually helps us a lot to save time. So one of the other AI solution is to look into the performance of the team based on the work that they do, and then suggest a different kind of benefits and motivational instruments, tools in order to give it to the team members and then improve their work on how fast or how better they do based on the results, right? So I see in the 3 year way time that we will be using it more and maybe more people will be open to use it, and we'll be saving our time to more creative work and more on the our expertise that we can add on top of the routine. So I really hope that AI will help us to to optimize the routine part more. It's already now, right? But I hope that AI models will be improving dramatically because we are using it, we are giving a feedback, so it's getting trained and it's producing better and better results from day to day. So in 3 times it should be
At
a bit
the pace it's moving,
sophisticated.
yeah, I'd agree. You just mentioned there about the AI using the plans. I was talking to someone, and I'm going to get him on the show as well, a guy who created a product called Tom's Planner. I don't know if you've seen it. It's an online Gantt chart tool. And he's plugged an AI into it, and you can go on there now. It's free. You just go, give me a plan for doing this. Hey, give me a plan for writing a book. And I can't remember what it was I put in for there. It wasn't writing a book. I was doing a podcast. I said, give me a plan for doing a podcast. And it just went. And I looked at it and I went, oh. And what you can do is, oh, expand this to include this other steps or whatever. And he said he'd done it. And what he'd done was do it for making, I can't remember if he was making a cup of tea or he was making something. A bowl of cereal, sorry. Just make a bowl of cereal. And he did it, and it kind of brought out this list. And then it kind of, you get to the point where you could, it's right, okay, break it down. It's kind of right. You could break it down where you could get the prompts that then, in theory, a robot could take that prompt, take that set of instructions, take that recipe and do it. So right, you get it to the point, how much pressure do you put on the box, on the bottle of the milk when you hold it and tip it? How much pressure? How much, and you just sit there thinking, just if it's as part of your research, you're looking at tools and things like that. Tom's Planner, it's called. I would recommend going and have a look at it, what it's done there. I don't know if other ones are doing it as well, but it is. I was just so shocked at how quickly, from it being available to that being a practical thing, because you know that thing where you've got a project, you're about to start it up, and you start brainstorming, you start thinking about what are the tasks we're going to do on this. What is it? But if you've got something like that, and then you've got your portfolio history and your repository of all the projects you've ever run, and you sit there and go, we're going to do a project with this software, this hardware, this number of sites, this, create me a project plan to do that. And bang, if you've got that as your start point, as you say, the speed that starts, because you get the team together and go, right, okay, that's what our team member chat has come up with. Let's go through it. Well, we need that. Oh, yeah, never thought about that. What about that? We need more detail. Expand on it. And you just, I can see what that kickoff meeting and that scope definition and that planning, the acceleration of that just going through the roof. It's just using it, isn't it?
And then you have a
Yeah.
time actually to work with people, right? So you have a time to do the leadership, you have a time to motivate your team and do all the other stuff that these days you don't have time because you are just covered with that routine from the morning till the
Yeah,
evening. You are trying to
you'd be
just
there. You'd be able to
create
talk
that
to the
plan.
stakeholder and make sure what you're delivering is what they need.
That's the benefit. Yeah, but again, yeah, we need to remember that we can't over rely. We can't take it as a true, right? So we need to invest our time and our expertise in order to improve it, to put a context and
It's
to
brilliant.
apply it as well.
It's been a fascinating conversation. Both parts of this conversation, I'd kind of a lot of passion. As I say, my view of our kids need to learn, and something I didn't mention before, going to mention it again because, and it's probably will have moved on from there. I know that Steve Wake, who's former CEO or chair, can't remember, of APM in the UK, the Association for Project Management. He's working on a synopsis at the moment, looking at potentially pulling together a sort of high school qualification in the UK, GCSEs, for project management. Which I think, again, it's kind of, I'm not the only one, and we're not the only ones who believe that these skills are good for our kids. And when he shared it, there was loads of people going, great idea, great idea, great idea. So I think it's something that, as us project managers and our listeners there, we know the benefits of this. It's kind of, we need to sell it out there a little bit to the rest of the world of it's as useful as maths and English, I think. And it will help you do your maths and your English, and it's all those sort of things. So that bit, yeah, thank you so much for that and the AI stuff as well. If people want to find out more about you, get a hold of the book, I know you've been involved with some other publications and things like that as well. What's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
They can find me in the LinkedIn, Anara Aslbekova, and for the little project manager book, they
Okay.
can follow us on Instagram. So our
Nice.
book has its own page. There is a lot of recommendations, a lot of thought, and a lot of talks about it from people that actually use this book. So they can follow the little PM dot book. They can find that page on the Instagram. Thank you for having
No,
me.
it's brilliant. Thank
It
you
was
very
very
much for giving me so much time.
interesting.
And on that basis, you have a wonderful rest of your evening. And yeah, have a great time.
Thank
Cheers.
you. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Bye.
So, how was that? So, if you're listening to this, that means
you've had a week's gap from episode one, part one, which means that you've had a week where you've been wondering what on earth was going to be said next in the next pieces, wondering what other nuggets of information were coming from my guest. And you've had a week where you haven't been able to apply those nuggets because you didn't know they existed or what they were, which is a little bit frustrating, really, because imagine how much more efficient, productive, or amazing you could have been. But you know there's a way around it. You know that you can pop along to Patreon, www.patreon.com/SundayLunchPM, or to Spotify, have a look at the feed, and there's a little lock. Click on the lock and it'll ask you to pay. It's the price of a coffee. That's it. A month. And you'll get everything a week early. And you won't have bits like this in it with me wittering on about becoming a patron and things like that. So, have a think. And anyway, I'll shut up now because you're probably thinking, just get on with it, Nigel. So yeah, here's the second part of the show. Well, it's goodbye from me, Nigel Creaser, and it's goodbye from him, the Sunday Lunch PM. Goodbye. My latest, the latest affiliate that I've got on the show now is Riverside. I use Riverside to do my interviews, Riverside FM. it kind of offers you a whole, if you like, micro studio management producer tooling and goes beyond that. Has a really good free layer. And I've been using it for a while now. I find it really good. When I've had issues, even though I'm not on one of the higher paid levels, the support has been quick, responsive and of high quality, and people keen to help me. The organisation seems really good. The product seems really intuitive. And quality is really good as well. And it's a clever way of doing it is when you're recording through your browsers, so you've not got loads of desktop resources being used compared to some other products that I've used. And what they also do is they do they stream a lower quality version of it up onto as you're doing the interview, so you're not burning bandwidth while you're doing the interview and potentially impacting on the quality of the conversation. And then at the end, it uploads it, the higher quality from your browser. I mean, it's just a really good way of doing it. So if you are thinking of doing a podcast and know someone's doing a podcast, I would recommend using this tool. I found it really good. Best of the tools that I've tried using to date. And you can get that at nigelcreaser.com/riverside, and that will redirect you to my kickback page on their site, and there I will get a little kickback from them. So take a look. Thanks. Another great sponsor of the show, it comes in the form of Air Manual. Air Manual is it's a tool for documenting process, which and best practices. It's run. It's a company formed by a guy, one of my interviewees, Alexis Kingsbury. Essentially, and I kind of summarised why my view of where we see documentation and my experience has been: people will document something, a process. They'll put it in a Visio diagram that gets loaded onto a SharePoint site or something similar, and then a bunch of that. So then, once that diagram's been shared with senior management, they're happy they have a process in the business. But then the detailed procedures underneath it might be in Word documents, in just poorly kept and not linked easily and not updated. And what Air Manual does, it allows you to put in it's a tool for doing this kind of thing. You whack it in, the service in there, get in there, put in your process, your flow, and you build it down to as low a level of detail, even to the point of checklists where people can check off they've done it. So it creates that guided checklists, easy to create, easy to maintain, and all in one place. And no one's kind of rooting around to find the SharePoint, and then when you change to new SharePoint services and all that stuff, it's all there. So if you pop along to nigelcreaser.com/airmanual, there's a bit more detail there and a link there to click on to go and get. I think they offer a trial and things like that. So it's something that I think can easily reduce the amount of errors, rework, etc. within our organisation. So, yeah, take a look. So, I have a number of sponsors, affiliate links, in the way that it's set up, that have kindly allowed me to share their services, really. The first one is Mike Kling, and Mike runs PM, online PM courses, and it is a great resource for getting those fundamentals of project management trained, reasonably priced, and Mike presents it in an accessible and clear manner. You can check out some of his videos on his YouTube channel and kind of give you a view of where they are. But the code for that, if you go to nigelcreaser.com/onlinepmcourses, all one word, lowercase, that'll redirect you to it. There's various different levels that you can buy. You can buy individual courses, you can buy pathways as well, if you like. And I get a kickback off those. Mike kindly shares me that. So if you do jump on and use it, I hope you find it really useful. I think he has money back guarantees and things like that as well, so there's a very limited risk on that. So jump on that, and that again is nigelcreaser.com/onlinepmcourses, and enjoy. So this is my final wrap up. Every week you're going to hear this, you're going to get bored of it, but you can always click next podcast if so. If you have enjoyed it, if you listened to this podcast to the end of this show and you think that was great, I'd love to be able to help Nigel out. There are loads of ways you can do it. The first and obvious way is to share the podcast, send it out to people. If you know colleagues and friends who'd benefit from it, you think they'd enjoy it, just send them the link. Grab one of the links, or send them to www.nigelcreaser.com/podcasts. That's www.nigelcreaser.com/podcasts, and that will push them over to a Linktree link, and it's got all of the different ways they can consume the podcast. If you are feeling generous and have a big bag of cash, you could grab a copy of one of my books. Obviously, they're available in all the usual places, and print and digital. Again, jump on the website, www.nigelcreaser.com/shop, and that will give you a list of all the different ways that you can contribute and grab copies of the book. Also got links to all my guests' books on there as well, where I get a little bit of a kickback from them. If you are of a sporting mind, I have a number through doing some of my judo and running antics. I've managed to secure a few affiliate links and affiliates there as well. So in there, somewhere in the sponsors page, there's links to those as well. So clicking onto those and grabbing if you're looking to get super fit, then that would be fabulous as well. And I get a little kickback from those. I have a Patreon account. It's patreon.com/sundaylunchpm. So again, you can ping something in there, buy me a coffee or whatever. And finally, obviously the most important is coming back, listen again, because the more of you that come back, the more visibility I get, because there's more times that it's downloaded and all the SEO works and things like that. So yeah, that's it. So if you can help me out, I would be much appreciated. If you can't, don't worry about it. Thank you very much. Cheers now. Bye.
Hi, and welcome to the Sunday Lunch Project Manager podcast for Sunday, the 8th of October, 2023. This is your host, Nigel Creaser, and today I've got the second part of my interview with Anara Asibakova. Speak soon. Well, I hope you enjoyed the second part of that interview with Anara, and come back next week for another great guest. Look after yourself. Speak soon. Bye.